prayer day. And what we're going to do is be highlighting different slots so that we can get a sense of what's going on in the Tuesday prayer day to facilitate as many of us connecting in and praying in the way that we can, because obviously we know it's a kind of a normal busy working day for many people. When we look at the gifts of the Spirit in a letter that Paul wrote to the community in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, we notice something sandwiched in the middle. Does anyone remember? It's quite a famous kind of paragraph. It's read out sometimes at weddings. What the content is of the middle chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Yeah, Rob. Yeah. So Paul is doing a section on gifts of the Spirit and the body of Christ and how we're all interdependent and we all need each other. And then bang in the middle, he does a section on agape love, God's sacrificial love, which has really redefined what love is for humanity, from being self-serving to being power used to sacrifice for the human flourishing of the other. That was just a radical understanding of love, and it's now sort of permeating that true love has it at its heart is sacrificial. So it's fascinating that in the middle of a section of teaching on gifts, bang in the middle, Paul would start talking about love. And I think it's because God loves us and wants us to love each other through the gifts he gives us. As soon as we divide gifts from love, we use them for power and coercion and self-serving. But when they are completely as they're designed to be, a vehicle for love, God can use the grace, the charisma, the gifts he's given individuals, literally as a conduit of love within the body and then overflowing into the world. A gift or a charisma or a grace is something that comes incredibly naturally. And the complexity around that is it doesn't require character to have a gift. A gift is just given. But the need is character underneath the gift. And the character is really the desire to love people. That's it. Christ-like character is just sacrificial love for the other. Whoever they are, someone we know or don't know, a friend or an enemy. So when we've built that, which is what we're really working on deeply at Hope, all the time, we're building character, building character, building character, so that we flow in love, then we identify the gifts that God's given us, and those gifts will be God's conduit of love for the community. There'll be no comparison, no competition, no selfish ambition, no aggrandizement of one or denigration of another. There'll just be the sense of, I'm using my gift God has given me as a conduit of love, and I'm going to receive love through God using your gift to me. So we're one body and we're many parts, and our gifts are used to build up the body and overflow into the world. And one of the gifts is prophecy. If you look in 1 Corinthians 12, there are two kinds of prophecy gifts. One of them is kind of quite a distinct role or anointing, where someone has quite a natural grace to really expose what's going on. Prophecy isn't really about telling the future. It's unveiling the unseen realm so we can see reality as it is. Sometimes that may involve foretelling, but most of the time it's just an unveiling of reality. And some people have that quite dramatically. They can kind of sense what's going on culturally. They can sense what God wants to do with the church. And they have a specific role along with evangelists, along with pastor teachers and apostles and so on. 1 Corinthians 12 honors that. And then you have the agape love. And then 1 Corinthians 14 also honors the fact that all of us are designed to hear God's voice and speak to one another with the gift God has given us. And actually, Paul exhorts everyone eagerly to desire the grace, the charisma, the energy, the capacity to prophesy. That's all our mandate. And Ruth's going to share in a little bit what she senses, her calling and why. Because we're now in a covenant of connectedness. The old covenant was death, because essentially it still was managing the disconnectedness of the human condition. But now we're in a new covenant of deep, profound, relational connectedness. And in that space, we can all hear God for each other and for ourselves and build up the body. And what Ruth's offering, which is beautiful, is one slot on the Tuesday prayer day where she will hear four people and pray for them. Between 3 and 4 p.m. on the Tuesday, people either come and in the building and she's happy to minister there, or just text her and say, I'd love you to just listen to me. Listen to God for me. I need to hear his voice. And this is what God has laid on Ruth's heart. So that is the big picture. I've tried to explain theologically and from a church perspective, the big picture of what Ruth's doing. It's completely intentional. It's completely theological. And it's completely in alignment with our values of every member ministry. So, Ruth, thank you so much for offering to host a 3 to 4 slot every Tuesday in the afternoon to be hearing God for people. And that you are loving people through that. That's such an act of love that you would want to hear God and serve people in that way. Can you explain a bit about your sense of calling for that and what you, how you are kind of framing it with the phrase now words that you've been using. And then we're going to be ministering to each other in this way right now. We're going to put it into practice.
Yeah, so basically, when we were on the church weekend away, which seems quite a while ago now, but I just felt God put on my heart like a sense. It's been a while, actually. It's been longer than that, but that... We used to pray a lot. So on a Tuesday, there's a group that meet, and then we used to minister a lot in the sessions, and that's why the prayer huts were built. And I loved that, and I just sensed God saying, you know, actually there's a real need for specific prayer for people. Sometimes people need to be heard. Sometimes they just need to have a word. You know, if you're struggling, we all have these difficult situations we're going through. And I just felt God say, you know, this is what you need to do. Just make a slot for that. So I've been trying to do that so far. But the idea is really just to hear, well, just to pray for people. I really believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God is the same God that we've just sang about. You know, he is able to do anything. But the most wonderful thing, I think, is when he can speak directly into our lives. And I was telling Alice earlier that when I was 16 or something like that age, that was the first time in my life that I ever had I went on this Youth for Christ thing. I mean, it's a long time ago, but this guy was praying for me and I felt like he was reading my mind. It was like, obviously God gave him the words of exactly how I was feeling. And I think that knowing that God can see, he knows us better than anyone else, that's what he wants to bring to people. And I just really feel that that is such a special gift, to be able to pray for someone and for his voice to, you know, like we all hear it, like we just saw people up here at the front, their birthdays, you know, and all that. That's so amazing, and you hear these words, and when my son was dedicated, words were spoken over him that I'm claiming still for today, and he's, you know, nearly 15. So I believe that God's words are powerful. When I was praying about it, there was a verse that I felt I wanted to share. So is that okay if I just do that? So it's from Hebrews. I can't remember whereabouts. I think it's possibly chapter 6. It's from the Passion Translation, but it just simply says, there will be no need at all to teach the fellow citizens or brothers by saying, you shall know Yahweh, since everyone will know me inwardly, from the most unlikely to the most distinguished. And I just feel like the bit where it says, since everyone will know me inwardly, that's the thing, that's what he wants, is for us to know his heart. And so I guess the point of the... what we call now words, is that sense that his word for people at that time, whatever people are going through, will speak directly into their lives. So it could be that we get a picture for somebody. It could be that we get, a word or a phrase. It could be that we don't get anything. What I like about that, though, is it says, from the most unlikely to the most distinguished. And actually, it's often the people that would be the most unlikely, like David was, that God will use. So it's not about us, it's about him. And I think that's the thing I like the most about that. So he will, if he wants to speak, he will speak. And if he doesn't, then he won't. You know, it's quite. So that's kind of it. Sorry, I'm waffling on.
Yeah. I think this is the new covenant heritage we have. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we think we believe or not, whether we get things right or wrong. God, we can know God. We do know God, and he knows us, and he can know and love others through us. So I am into fitness, as you know, so I'm going to raise everyone a little spiritual fitness level. If you have never, ever, you don't know, obviously God loves you and he knows you, but you may not have a personal relationship with you, I would just encourage you to just be at a table and ask God to speak, because he's speaking to you all the time. It's about tuning in. And that will be your spiritual fitness. That will be your, hearing God for beginners, okay? It doesn't matter whether you think you know him or not, or even believe whether he exists or not. Just tune in. He's here. His spirit keeps you alive every day. The next level are for people who know they hear God, but they actually find it hard to say because they're a bit concerned they might make a mistake or not say it appropriately. Well, here we always offer in humility. We know we prophesy in part. We know we get things wrong. So I'm going to encourage you slightly, if you're in that group, out of your comfort zone, to just go, okay, I do get these images or these pictures or a word, or I get this feeling about something. I'm just going to offer it to you humbly. Is this God speaking through me? So that what I'm trying to do is, everyone's going to be a bit uncomfortable, but not too much. It's more disempowering to stay in your comfort zone than it is to have slight stress. Too much stress is equally disempowering, but we're doing a little bit of uncomfortableness. And I will be under this as well. Third level is, we often hear God, and we have a picture, and we give it to someone. I'm going to ask that category to be more precise. Ask more precision, more clarity. What is more unveiling, more sharpness? Okay, so there are four levels. Can everyone relate to one of those levels? Yeah, so the first level is, you might not have a relationship with God, you might not believe God exists, but I'm going to encourage you that God's speaking all the time, and it's just about tuning in. He keeps you alive, you're here because he formed you. So that's a repentance, it's a change of mindset about reality. Just listen. Have your heart open to listen. And is there any thoughts, words, impressions, something that you're connecting in with? Secondly, for people who do have that but find it hard to speak, I'm going to encourage you. It's very humble. It's very gentle. There's no other way to mediate the prophetic in the kingdom. It's always with humility and gentleness, to just say, look, I had this kind of impression, this thought I think God might be saying. If that might be a step out of your comfort zone. The third one is, you think you kind of probably find it fairly normal to have pictures and words. And this one, though, I want it to be sharper and maybe ask for more clarity and more precision. Okay? So the key is, everyone just is a bit uncomfortable. We're building resistance, a little bit of resistance. How you build muscle is you slightly tear it and then it rebuilds. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's always with us. He's in us. He keeps us alive. He is our breath, ruach, the wind, the Spirit of God. And at the same time, he loves to be invited, because it's completely a consenting relationship, 100%. He never enforces or imposes or does anything without our full permission. So I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come, and then very simply on each table, someone who's happy to volunteer to just ask to be prayed for now words, and then the others will do the comfort zone level they can do. Lord, I thank you so much that you have words you want to speak now that will be transactional, revelatory, and useful for the people listening. In a way that if they'd stayed at home and just heard from you, it wouldn't be the same. Because you build the body. You speak through the body. We're totally interdependent on each other. I ask that you show, you move each one of us in our spiritual fitness, in capacity and clarity and confidence in hearing your voice. But most of all, Lord, most of all forever, that we do it through love, through deep, sacrificial, agape love for the other, wanting the other to be raised up and flourishing. We bind the schemes of the enemy that would prevent us from hearing clearly, that either that you don't exist at all, or that if you do, you speak to other people, or that you wouldn't speak that specifically to me. We just break those in the name of Jesus, and we say the reality is full connectedness with Yahweh, full union. That's reality. And therefore, we live into that reality, that we hear you all the time, and we're swimming in the spirit, in the revelation of God all the time for the other, to build up the other. And we know that in 1 Corinthians 14, it says it's always for comfort, always for encouragement, literally the instilling of courage, and always for hope. And so we protect these words to be only comforting, encouraging, or hopeful. And we assume any other words are just not of you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you just get into groups with people near you and listen to the person, for God, for one person who wants someone to listen for them. We are going to have worship playing in the background. So just key into the worship and the leadership of Jesus, and aware that we're kind of raising and enthroning his name, and then there's more clarity of his voice.